This is rather good, isn't it? For centuries, people have been coming to this place, Radcot, passing under this, the oldest bridge on the River Thames. And right next to the river is this field with these very intriguing earthworks. For years, people looked at them, but had no idea what they were. And then last year, a geophys survey came up with some really interesting results. Look at this. It appears to show a castle keep coming out of the ground with what may be walls or ramparts around it. Could this really be a lost Oxfordshire castle that's been forgotten for hundreds of years? And I thought we were just going to have 3 days messing around on the river. The tiny hamlet of Radcot in Oxfordshire is the last place you'd think of looking for a massive castle. But it's on one of the most strategic crossing points over the River Thames. For centuries, armies have fought here for control of the bridge, from medieval times right up until the English Civil War in the 17th century. We've been invited to dig here by two archaeologists who live nearby. They've done their own geophys survey, and they think they may have found a Norman castle buried underneath this now peaceful field. John, one of the local diggers has just said that this field is called the Garrison. Doesn't that mean it might be connected with the English Civil War?
Well, I thought that once, but I've worked on the history of this area for a long time, and I've always known a reference in one chronicle which says that Matilda, one of the grandchildren of William the Conqueror, fortified Radcot in 1142.
And you persuaded Rogers to do some geophys on the
field?
That's
right.
We thought, well, it must be something late, like Second World War defences. And then, so we said to John, well, we just got to dig a hole in this just to prove what's here, whether it is modern stuff or not.
Did you dig a hole, John?
We dug a hole, yes. And we found a great big thick wall, 3.8 metres thick.
Made of?
Made of mortared rubble.
That's kind of exciting, isn't it? But one wall doesn't make a castle, Rick.
No, but I think when you look at the geophysics, there's a lot of very interesting big structures on it. I mean, look, see if we've got a keep there. There are lots of other buildings around it. It looks as if the whole thing is within a big enclosure with possibly a gatehouse or something over on one side.
So where do you want to dig first?
Well, I think we're going to have another look at the keep, perhaps get the other side from where you dug, just to get more information about that. We're then spoiled for choice, really. I mean, there's so many things we can look at.
John, if this really is a Norman castle that's been forgotten about for centuries, how important is that?
It's very significant indeed. Norman stone castles aren't that common, and it's very rare for a new one to turn up that's completely unknown.
So Phil puts in our first trench over what may have been the castle's Norman keep or tower. This is the feature which showed up as a big square in Roger's original geophysics. And Phil's now looking for its northeast corner. But the geophys survey also showed up a number of other strange shapes around the field. And they may be what's left of the rest of the castle. So John's going to take a second look at some of them, while the rest of the geophys team are experimenting with some new radar techniques over the possible keep or tower, which we hope for the first time will give us a 3D model of any buildings while they're still underground. Phil's barely scratched the surface, and as soon as the digger goes in,
there's more of it.
Bits of pottery start to come out.
What's that then? That looks just burnished, eh?
Yeah, it looks Roman, doesn't it?
I know, it's what I thought. I mean, it looks Roman to me, doesn't it?
Let's get it washed and have a look.
Yeah.
I think it's...
Hey, this is a medieval programme, isn't it?
Well, it's supposed to be. And our first piece of pottery is soon followed by dozens more.
God, there's some pottery here, look. There's
masses of it.
And thankfully, they are medieval.
You put the bally trowel in the ground and the pot comes up.
So it's an encouraging start. And while everyone else has got their work cut out for them, I'm keen to find out a bit more about the Normans and Radcot. If anyone ever says to me the words Norman Castle, I tend to think of 1066 and William the Conqueror. But the period that we're looking at is a bit later than that, isn't it?
Yes, this is getting on for a century after the Norman Conquest, when two of William the Conqueror's grandchildren were battling for the crown of England.
Is this Stephen and Matilda?
Yes. Matilda was the daughter of the last king, Henry I, and he had made his barons swear an oath to her. On the other hand, she was a woman, which was a disadvantage from some people's points of view. Stephen had a less direct claim, but he was a man, and he acted very quickly after the old king died and got himself crowned.
So this was really a civil war?
That's right.
What did this place, Radcot, have to do with it?
Radcot is mentioned in one very important text of this period, the Gesta Stephani, which is a chronicle of Stephen's reign. And that says that in 1142, Matilda fortified various places on the Upper Thames, and one of them is actually named as Radcot, which it says was a village made inaccessible by waters and blocked up by marshes. Well, here we are.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? You see that lovely old Radcot bridge there and all the water. It's hard to believe that at one time this would have been an epicentre for blood and sacrifice.
It certainly is.
In the mid-1100s, little Radcot got mixed up in a vicious civil war. Historians call it the Anarchy. But it was really a big family squabble between King Stephen and his cousin, wannabe queen Matilda. Matilda's said to have had a castle at Radcot. So could that be what the geophys is seeing under our field? Phil's looking for the castle's keep. His finds trays are filling up with masses of pottery.
You can see the fabric there, can't you?
That's a nice bit of fabric, that is.
And he's only gone down a few inches and already hit what might be a wall.
Mick!
Yeah?
Come here. Look, I think I got the wall.
Yeah? Yeah, it looks like another bit of stone you've got there.
That's right.
So what, have you got the corner of the keep, do you think?
Well, I think it would be somewhere handy. See that wooden post behind you?
Yeah.
See, now that marks what was supposed to be the other corner of the keep.
Right.
And John, he marked the other corner as being, oh, I don't know, somewhere about here. Right. So we'd expected it to come through here somewhere.
So it looks like we've got our first wall already, and it's only mid-morning. The Normans were great castle builders. The classic early Norman castle was called a Motte and Bailey, which was a big circular mound with a tower on top and a defensive ring below it with lots of other buildings. But our site doesn't look anything like that. We think we might have a tower and some of the other buildings, like a hall or a chapel, but our site isn't round with a defensive ring. It's almost completely flat and rectangular, which is giving our experts something to think about.
What we've got is actually a very strange rectilinear enclosure. It's not even rectangular. It's sort of all sorts of odd shapes and angles. And it makes me suspect that there might be reuse of an earlier site, possibly a Saxon site, possibly even a Roman site. We don't know, but it has that feel about it.
But some of the strange shapes on the original geophysics might be what's left of the castle's other buildings. Mick thinks this dark area here could be the remains of a gatehouse, the fortified entrance to the castle.
Presumably this hollow is where the road's coming in.
Well, if we're looking at the topography, that's what it looks like.
We haven't had time to plot on a computer exactly where we should put the trench, so Mick and Bridge go for a rather less high-tech approach. Stuart's best guess.
Stu, we're looking for this entrance here, look, and we think we probably ought to go where this hollow is in front of us.
Right.
He's going to disagree with that.
And I can see his face.
I've just been looking at this possible roadway that comes in from the north up here.
Yeah.
If you plot out where that might hit this bank, it's not actually in this hollow.
Where is it then?
It's more here-ish. Hmm. It's to one side of your hollow.
All right, OK. Presumably that gate in the fence there is a bit of a clue, is it?
No, I noticed that.
So our next trench goes in looking for the gatehouse.
One bucket width wide to start.
But one thing still puzzles me. If we really do have a Grand Norman castle here, why isn't it in the records and on the maps? Or you could ask, who should have put it there?
You used to work around here, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked in the County Museum from 1970 to 74, and my main job was to compile a record
of all the sites and monuments in the county.
And on that record, does it say that there's a castle here?
No,
did you miss it, Mick?
Well, I must have done. But then, you see, I remember how I would have worked then. I would have looked over the fence, seen the earthworks, marked earthworks on the map, and then I probably went in the pub.
But why specifically do you think it was missed here? Not just by you, but by countless historians and archaeologists.
Probably because this place was known as the site of a 17th century Civil War battle.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I probably, like everybody else, assume that the earthworks were something to do with that.
So this folklore evolved that this was a garrison, it was a Civil War site, and nobody ever challenged
it? And nobody ever queried it and said, well, hang on, let's go back and look at the documents again. Let's see if this is really true.
If you could live your life again.
Oh, tell me about it.
So it seems that somewhere along the line, Radcot's Norman history got confused with the later English Civil War, when Oliver Cromwell's Roundheads fought a battle in the village with Charles I's Royalists. But 500 years before this, we think there was a Norman castle here. One real clue might be the banks, streams and ditches surrounding the field, which do look suspiciously like a moat. To find out, we've sent Stuart off in a boat along the river at the bottom of the field, and got Henry to take some soil samples to see if the ditches once held any water. But it's in Phil's tower trench where we're getting our best archaeology.
See, we've got this lovely big wall coming up here, and the archaeologists are saying it looks like the right period, middle of the 12th century. If it's not a keep, it's pretty keepish. And they think they may have the return there. You see where that lighter soil is. But what's really intriguing me about this dig is all these finds. Often we wouldn't get as many as that in 3 days, but these have come up in, what, 3 hours?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely astonishing, isn't it? There's just masses and masses of really big pieces of pottery, all these huge chunks of animal bone.
Have we got 12th century stuff here?
Oh, yeah, it's nearly all 12th into 13th century. I mean, it's exactly on the money in terms of what we're looking for. The only stuff that isn't is we're getting a background of Roman pottery. I mean, quite big pieces of it as well, in good condition. We've also got this. It's a piece of a Roman central heating system, the sort of thing you'd find in a villa.
So there could have been a Roman settlement on this side?
Almost certainly a villa, looking at that, yeah. I mean, you're looking at big, fresh chunks of Roman pottery. They haven't been kicking around in fields for all their life.
This is a surprise, because we came here looking for a Norman castle, and we assumed that the original geophys showed the buildings belonging to that castle. Like this shape here, which seems to have three rooms and could be the castle's chapel. But with so much Roman stuff coming up, Mick and John are having second thoughts.
Now we've surveyed it in more detail, it looks as though that chapel is part of a much bigger structure. Yeah. I mean, there appear to be wall lines going off at right angles and extra rooms.
Yeah.
So what sort of thing could it be?
Well, we've been teasing ourselves with, is it a villa?
A Roman villa?
Yeah, because we've got Roman pottery from the site, we've got a hypocaust heating flue tile. Why not this being part of a Roman villa? So we've got to put a trench in to find out.
So we've got rumours of the Civil War.
Yeah.
We've got Stephen and Matilda.
Yeah.
And now we've got a Roman villa.
It's going to be a chapel.
So, chapel, castle or Roman villa? Our third trench goes in to find out. At least things are clearer in Phil's trench, where we're looking for our Norman tower.
Phil? Earlier today, when Mick was getting a bit gung-ho about what we might have here, I said to him, one wall does not make a castle. Well, you've got one wall, have we got a castle?
Tony, when you've got one wall that is as big as this, you have got a castle. You can bet your life on that.
So it's just the size that tells you that this is a castle?
It is about 4 metres wide. You don't build a bike shed like that. You really don't.
You're not in a way, Richard.
I agree. It's massive, isn't it?
And could it be the keep?
I think it's got to be. That kind of thickness of wall, it wouldn't be anything else on the site.
And, of course, we got some very, very good dating for it as well. We've got masses of pottery, and all that pottery is 12th and 13th century.
That's great news. It looks like we've got our Norman tower with some incredibly thick walls. But so far, it's the only part of the castle we have got, and we really do need to find a few more buildings. Unfortunately, that will all have to wait until tomorrow, because it's almost the end of the day and Stone the Crows, Phil's off to the pub.
I know that on Time Team we do tend to get a bit overexcited about some pretty daft things, but this really is something special. It looks as though under the ground here we've got a Norman castle which has been forgotten for centuries. And if that's true, then this is a find of national significance. So far we've got just this one wall of the keep, but according to the geophys, it goes out to here and up this way and then along there. But what's so tantalising about the geophys is this. This is the keep here, and as we go deeper, something starts to appear in the middle here, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and whatever it is right underneath here, these bamboo poles, and it's going deeper and getting curiouser and curiouser. What is it? We'll find out tomorrow. Beginning of day two here at Radcot in Oxfordshire, where we seem to have discovered a previously unknown Norman castle. This is the outside here. This, we think, is the wall of the keep with incredibly thick walls. Now I'm on the inside, and this is where you're going to be working today?
That's right. I mean, what we hope to do is get some more pottery to sort of really firm up the dating of the destruction of it. We'd love to get hold of some floors to actually see when the castle was in use. And I'm really tantalised by that blob in the middle of John's geophysics.
But it's not just a blob. I mean, look at the shallower slices. You can actually see this clear line dividing the keep. And I wonder if that's a sort of central wall. It's only when you go deeper into the ground that this blob starts to emerge.
Got any ideas of what it might be?
Yeah, I think you get these cross walls in these Norman keeps like that. And very often there are a couple of arcades with a big central pillar or something, which is what this could be. But the only way to do it is to have a look.
Yeah. That would be something to find, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
If we've got this keep, and now we know what its orientation is, can't we imply where the rest of the castle is, dig it, job done, go home?
You're right, there ought to be more around here. There ought to be a hall, private chambers, chapel, barns, all sorts of stuff like that. And some of these marks on the geophysics might be those structures. But actually, there's really not enough in the holes we've got at the moment to make a typical sort of castle out of it.
Then what could all this stuff be around the edges?
I'm beginning to wonder whether a lot of these earthworks aren't related to something later. I think that we're not looking at a one-phase structure. It's not all 12th century. There's something else going on at this end of the site.
So what is going on? And why does our castle only seem to consist of a massive Norman tower, which Phil's uncovered in his trench? Norman castles usually have lots of buildings, but neither of our other two trenches have found any sign of them so far. Yesterday, Bridge put in a trench looking for the gatehouse. She's found lots of rubble, but it doesn't look as if it belongs to a building. It's a similar story over in Tracy's chapel trench. We don't have a Roman villa. In fact, we don't seem to have any sort of building at all. Something odd seems to be going on in this part of the field, where we've got lots of earthwork banks and ramparts. Up until half an hour ago, I thought this big earthwork was part of the Norman castle. But now Mick says it may be something entirely different. Stuart, you're our lumps and bumps man. What's your take on all this?
Well, I think we have got an earthwork here of the Civil War period, but not the Stephen and Matilda Civil War, the later Civil War, 17th century, Roundheads and Cavaliers period.
So two Civil Wars on one side?
It's looking very likely at the moment.
That's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah.
Now, we know that Radcot House, you see through the trees,
yes,
had a royalist garrison in it during the Civil War, and that the Roundheads besieged it for 6 weeks, and that they fight cannonballs, so they needed somewhere to do it from. I think this is a Civil War siege work here.
Dug by Oliver Cromwell, mate.
Yeah, indeed.
How does your work tie into that?
Well, it matches. If we move up to that northwestern corner, see that shape? around there is very reminiscent of the bastions where they used to mount the cannon during that period.
So does that mean, Mick, that we're not going to be able to find any more of our Norman castle because it's all been destroyed by these later earthworks?
Well, I think that's the problem in this half of the field. The trenches we've dug have just got masses and masses of dump material put in, which reflects these earthworks. So whatever's in this area is going to be quite well buried. So I think we need a trench across this just to test that out. But, you know, it bears out my sort of
concerns,
uneasy feelings that we weren't quite dealing with what we thought we were dealing with.
So we put in a new trench to test Stuart's theory that we've got a 17th century Civil War fort buried here. And I'm starting to get a little worried, because if Stuart's right and we do have a fort on this side of the field, then it could have destroyed a lot of our Norman castle.
These things are thrown up in a couple of days, these Civil War defences. It only take 50, 60 men a couple of days to dig something like this, you know.
At least Phil's trench is looking good. It's taking him a little longer than he thought to uncover the strange blob in the middle of the tower. But our new 3D geophys model shows that it goes down at least as far as the outer wall. And we're still getting lots of really nice medieval pottery from this trench.
God, look, there's a new break, though.
Oh,
you know
right.
That new break is?
That's lovely, isn't it?
Oh, look at that, though.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, look at that.
Isn't that fabulous?
Come on, then, tell me about that. That's
well,
gorgeous.
It's a real boastful baluster jug. They made them up on the Oxfordshire-Buckinghamshire border. It's the classic 13th, 14th century glazed pottery you get in Oxfordshire.
So that is like the staircase baluster, the shapely legs sort of things.
Yeah, nice tall neck, nice bulbous body, and then going down to a nice sort of tapered foot.
It's a whacking great handle on it, I suppose.
Yeah, big strap handle, usually with slash decoration on it. Then you get all this applied decoration, rouletted and coloured slips painted on it.
Although we know Matilda's army controlled Radcot Castle during the anarchy of the 12th century, we still don't know who actually built it, so Helen and John have been looking at the records to see if they can shed any light on Radcot's Norman owners.
John, given that we're looking for a Norman castle here, do we have any idea who would have owned this area at the time of the conquest?
Well, we do know who had Radcot in 1086, 20 years later, because Domesday Book says that it was in the hands of a man called Alfsir of Faringdon. And Alfsir is a very interesting character. He was an Englishman, but he was actually richer in 1086 than he had been at the time of the conquest.
How come?
Well, William must have trusted him. He was one of a group of English administrators who knew how the country ran, whom William found it worthwhile to support and trust. And so he's one of that select band of English who collaborated and who were built up by William's regime.
What about at the time of the anarchy, at the time of the fight between Stephen and Matilda? Do we know who was here then?
We don't know for certain, but it's pretty clear that a lot of Alfs's lands went after about 1100 to a man called Hugh of Buckland. Hugh was one of the king's major supporters and henchmen in the Upper Thames area. Now, he died about 1120, but he had a son called William, and it may have been William de Buckland who owned this at the time of the 1142 siege.
Just how much of William de Buckland's castle has survived is open to question. Some of these earthwork banks, which we once thought were Roman ramparts, are turning out to be much later. We put a trench in over here to see if Stuart's theory was right and that this big earthwork was actually some kind of defensive structure thrown up by the Roundheads in the English Civil War. How have we got on, Raksha?
Well, this trench is everything we've hoped for. Here we have a stone revetment. It's a complete bodge job. They've just thrown it up in about 3 days.
What is a revetment? What's this for?
A revetment is essentially a holding wall. In the middle, can you see here, there's this loose soil.
Yeah.
This is the soil that's been bought in. It's garden soil to create a bank. And here we have the revetment on the other side to hold it in.
So you've got a load of guys throwing up a wall there, chucking a load of stuff in really, really quickly.
Yeah.
That's quite compelling, but dating evidence?
The dating evidence is perfect. We have this 16th, 17th century pottery, which is at the time of the Civil War. And also, if you come over here, we've actually just found this sweet little horseshoe. You can just imagine a Roundhead trotting on his horse through this field of buttercups.
So how do you feel about your trench?
this trench has actually been behaving for once.
Thank you, Raksha. I do like the idea of a trench behaving itself. We put in another trench over there. We put that in because we've got some intriguing geophys. There was a little structure that seemed to be divided up into three, like three little rooms or something, which Mick originally thought might be a Norman chapel. But then he had a slightly more off-the-wall idea that it could be a Roman villa. Is this trench behaving itself, Tracy?
No, not really. No, it's not what we expected.
In what way?
No stone walls.
What have you got?
What we have got is these layers here of mortar and small bits of stone. There's wall plaster in there. That's all demolition material from a building.
Is that it?
Well, no, because cutting through the demolition, we then have robber trenches where the stone walls would have been coming down that way.
Would it be fair to say, basically, you have no idea what's going on?
No, I think we know what's going on. We just don't know what it means yet.
Great. So, while Tracy's trench is still a bit confusing, we are beginning to get a better overall picture of our site. And it looks as if local folklore about the Civil War could be right. Rackshaw's trench proves that there was an earthwork bank built here in the 17th century. And it seems to have formed part of a much larger fort. It covered almost half the field. How on earth did we miss that one? The northern rampart would have been studded with cannon to fire on the royalists holed up inside nearby Radcot House. The fort probably destroyed a lot of the castle's remains, so we're lucky that Phil's tower was on the other side. But Tracy's trench is slap bang under one of the ramparts. If there was a chapel there, the fort could have erased all traces of it. But we're not giving up. We've still got one more chance to find another building from the Norman castle. Even though this square-shaped feature on the geophys is underneath the fort, it's showing up really strongly.
We're 30 metres away from the main keep. It's on the same alignment. I mean, the thought is, could it be a kitchen, bakehouse, something like that?
So Bridge opens a trench to find out what it is. Yesterday, Stuart and Henry wanted to find out if the Norman castle was surrounded by a man-made moat. But after looking at the river and taking some soil samples, they've discovered it didn't need one.
So what you're saying is that basically everything out there is boggy, wetland, yep. That this actually sits up as an island in the middle of all that.
That's right, and it's not just in the medieval period. There's been an island since very earliest prehistory from the coring. The lowest deposits are glacial. So we know that that edge has always been the edge of an island, so people must have been here for, well, since people were in the area.
And you think that Matilda, this would be a perfect place for her to defend and hole up here. It's surrounded by bog and marsh. It's got control the river crossing, control the road north and south.
So, as an island, the field would have been an ideal place to put a castle and to defend Radcot Bridge. Why was Radcot so strategically important?
You've got to remember the situation in 1142. This is at the height of the war between Stephen and Matilda, and Stephen's on the offensive. Matilda has retreated to Oxford, which is her base at this point, and she's fortified various places along the Upper Thames, which are between her and Stephen.
So where is Stephen?
Stephen's coming from the west, and he's advancing towards the Upper Thames area.
So what does he do next?
Well, the chronicle of his reign, the Gesta Stephani, says that he attacks the two castles which Matilda had fortified at Bampton and at Radcot, and then the castle at Bampton fell.
So the guys at Radcot would have had a problem, wouldn't they? They wouldn't know whether to continue fighting or whether to surrender.
Yes, they can see that Stephen's coming soon. They know that his army at the moment is very strong. They've got a hard choice.
Over in the field, we've decided to concentrate our forces on Bridge's trench, where she's found a stone wall. The archaeologists are taking a complete guess that it might belong to the castle's kitchen, based on our knowledge of other Norman castles.
So, have we got a building here that dates to the Keep and Phil's Trench?
It's probably a bit earlier, actually, Bridge. I mean, looking at this, you know, you've got all the typical early medieval coursewares from around here. Lots of the sort of the Cotswolds limestone stuff. I mean, it all looks like late 11th into early 12th to me.
So, at last, the pottery from Bridge's Trench suggests we may have another part of the Norman castle. In fact, we've got more pottery than we could ever have hoped for.
From Phil's trench, we've got pieces of pot and bowls from the very early Norman period. This suggests the tower was built shortly after the conquest, perhaps even by Alf C. of Farringdon. That would make our stone keep extremely rare, because most early Norman towers were built out of wood. But the big surprise is in the tower's destruction, because Phil's also been getting pottery from the demolition layer of the tower, and it reveals that it was pulled down not long after the anarchy ended.
These five sherds are a type of pottery called mightyware. Mm-hmm. This gets common by the end of the 12th century. And we've also got this bit, which is very, very early Brill Borstal ware. Again, this comes in round about the end of the 12th century. What we haven't got is any of this, which is a 13th century glazed ware. So I'm pretty confident that the castle was demolished round about the end of the 12th century.
By the, say, the 1170s, 1180s?
Something like that.
It's gone by then?
Yeah.
So it looks like our Norman tower was demolished a lot earlier than we thought. This great stone structure, which must have taken years to build, only lasted for around a century. But it stood during one of the most turbulent periods in English history, the anarchy. And tomorrow, we're going to carry out our own siege of Radcot Castle. Beginning of day three at Radcot in Oxfordshire. And although the weather's taken a turn for the worse, we're hoping our luck's about to change. Yesterday, we discovered that a lot of our Norman castle could have been destroyed by the construction of a 17th century Civil War fort. This morning, with just one day left, we're determined to get back on track and find out just how much of Matilda's castle has survived. We've got the main building, the keep, and Phil's been slowly working his way inside it. But in the middle, where we expected to find a big central pillar, he's in fact discovered something rather different.
I can see a long rectangle, not a central pillar.
That's because we've got two things. The central thing, which is this, is a really substantial piece of masonry. And I think that that is of the same date, the same build as the castle. And it literally is standing in the middle of the keep to hold the roof up.
So it's basically the bottom of a huge column, is it?
That's right. And that will probably go right the way down into have deep foundations. But what you've got here is something which has been added on. Here is the edge, along here, of this central pier. And beyond that, you've got this pitch stone foundation with an edge running all the way out there. And you can see there's also an edge running along here.
So what do you think's going on?
Well, I don't know at the moment, but either way, what it does seem, the shoddiness of that foundation implies to me that whatever it was done in a hurry.
So while Phil stands there scratching his head, we crack on with finding the rest of the castle. And this is the plan for day three. Phil's going to try and uncover more of the pillar, as well as extending his trench to investigate the area outside the tower. We're also going to take another look at our gatehouse and chapel trenches. It's becoming increasingly clear that the later fort has damaged whatever might have been in them. Only tiny fragments may be left. So we're going to have to work hard if we're going to find these two buildings. We've also decided to look for something new. We've been getting enough early pottery to suggest that there might have been a settlement here before the castle. So Rakshar puts in a new trench over this dark line on the geophys survey, which could be a boundary ditch from an early medieval village. Over in her trench, Bridge is digging what she hopes might be the castle's kitchen. And she thinks she's just found the first evidence of cooking.
Let's see, let's marry up the two. Aha.
Ooh. Blimey.
It does look more like a bread knife, doesn't it?
It does look like a bread knife. Are you sure that's medieval? Did they have bread knives in the medieval?
They must have had bread.
So, medieval bread knife or not, it feels like we're getting closer to the people who lived here. But although we know Stephen and Matilda fought over Radcot in 1142, we still haven't found anything to prove that the fighting had an impact on the castle itself.
When Matilda's army knew that the next-door castle had fallen and that Stephen was coming in their direction, what would they have done?
Well, presumably when Matilda came here, she would have fortified the site with temporary defences like earthworks and palisades, which would all have been put up in a great hurry.
Yes, she wouldn't have had much time.
There wouldn't have been much time, no, and the atmosphere would have been extremely frightening. In fact, we get an extremely vivid account of the siege of a small castle in the Chronicle of Stephen's reign, describing the siege of Farringdon only just down the road and only 3 years later than this. And this talks about the building of elaborate siege machines around the castle and positioned archers. And then there was a great hail of arrows down onto the castle. Stephen's army was massing and climbing up over the ramparts. It must all have been very frightening.
Stuart and Helen are trying to get an idea of what it might have been like for the defenders of Radcot during those dark days. We're going to explore how King Stephen might have attacked the castle with the help of a Norman throwing weapon called a trebuchet.
What sort of range would you get from this sort of... Out of this engine, we've had 150 to 175 metres with a sort of 2 to 3 pound rock. But they fire all sorts of different pieces of material out of it. You'd get bees' nests, hornets' nests, bits of rotten carcass, anything that made life miserable inside the castle.
So what are we going to use in the experiment?
We're going to use some very dangerous grapefruit.
Why a grapefruit?
But it's just nice and safe because there is one drawback to these engines and that they do misfire. Right. And if it misfires, it's either coming out the back of the engine at head height, which could be quite bad for one of us, or going straight up in the air, which could be quite bad for one of you people.
Oh, no. Well, I'm going to stand back.
Ready? Straighten them up.
3, 2, 1. The grapefruit has landed, and Henry goes off to measure the distance.
OK, Henry, how far was that? Right, that was 87 metres. 87 metres, got that.
And if you'd like to learn more about medieval siege warfare, you can find out at the Time Team website. Back on site, and it hasn't taken Rakshar long to find evidence for an earlier settlement. She's been investigating these boundary ditches on Roger's original GeoFizz. But just how old they are takes everyone by surprise.
They're Roman.
Oh, well, that's a turn up for the books.
Well, you know, it accounts for a lot of the pottery that we're coming across, you know, across the site. We've been finding lots of Roman pottery and medieval features. And it does seem to suggest that there must be a Roman settlement underneath the keep.
So that solves the mystery of all the Roman pottery we've been getting since day one. It shows that our fields has been used and reused over the centuries. We know it used to be an island surrounded by marshes, which would have made it very attractive to the first Roman settlers. It's also likely that the Anglo-Saxons would have lived here too. And when the Normans arrived here after 1066, they put up a castle here, followed 500 years later by the Roundheads, who built a fort on top of that. But this afternoon's really good news is that the fort hasn't destroyed all evidence of the castle. Bridget has been looking for the castle's kitchen, and at last she thinks she's found it.
Is this looking any more like a medieval kitchen?
Well, we have found a lot more pot that's got a lot of soot on it. So good. It looks as though it's been used for cooking, or at least on a hearth. We've also found your doorway.
Oh, good. Where's that then?
Here it is behind me. You see this brown splodge here?
Yeah.
This is where the door jamb would have been, and it's been robbed away.
Right.
I'm standing in the actual doorway.
Right.
This orange material, this looks like the bedding layer for a pathway that's leading straight up towards the keep.
Right direction.
Yeah.
Any idea of date?
At its earliest, we have got pottery dating to the early 11th century. Do you think, by looking at the construction of this wall, that you might be able to date it more closely?
Although it's quite a narrow wall, the way it's built and the way it's finished is quite a good quality. It's quite similar to the keep, really.
The cooking pottery and the earlier bread knife suggest this was indeed a kitchen dating to around the same period as the Norman keep. So it would have served food to the knights and their servants in the castle. It's not quite such good news in our gatehouse and chapel trenches, but it's not as bad as we once feared. The rubble in our gatehouse trench seems to be part of a collapsed wall, which might be the outer wall of the castle. The ditch of the Civil War fort has been cut through it. We haven't found a gatehouse, but the geophysics still suggests we're in the right area. So if it is here, it's probably buried beneath all this, and we just don't have time to take it all out. In Tracy's Trench, we can't say for sure if we have a chapel, but we do have some kind of building. All the stone seems to have been removed from the walls when the building was demolished, and the later fort even erased a lot of the demolition material. What's left is a thin line of stones, which could be a drain.
This is all one big piece. I hope I don't break it.
Right from day one, Phil's trench has given us our best preserved part of the castle, the tower. But we now realise just how close it came to being destroyed, because Phil's found a huge ditch just a few feet from the tower, and the evidence suggests it's part of the later fort that wiped out so much of the Norman archaeology.
Beautiful.
Hey!
Look at that.
Isn't that amazing,
lovely.
Isn't that absolutely spot on?
It's the standard sort of early post-medieval pottery around here. We call it redware, because, I mean, you know, it's like this bright orange fabric. Mid-16th to 17th century, probably more 17th than mid-16th, really.
So, Civil War?
Certainly brackets of Civil War, yeah, easily.
We've also dug up a huge amount of mud from the bottom of that ditch. And thanks to our metal detectorist, Dave Tuffery... We've just found something buried there which causes quite a stir.
Someone said race over here. What have we got?
We got the FA Cup.
Look at that. What on earth is it?
Well, it's a goblet.
Wow.
Look at it.
Bridge, what can we say about it?
We can see that it's pewter. But what would be nice is if there's some sort of engraving on the base of it or something like that. We might have maker's marks, we could have anything that might date it.
Because the goblet's from the Civil War ditch, it probably dates to around the 17th century. Bridge takes a break from digging to see if cleaning it can help us to date it more accurately. But there's one more little mystery to solve, why the tower's central pillar was turned into a wall. And we've called on Richard, our castle's expert, for help.
Why do you think it might have been built?
Perhaps somebody's trying to strengthen this keep for some reason. Perhaps during the anarchy. So they're building underneath that big timber beam and building a big cross wall.
So this might be our first tangible evidence of Matilda's army on this side.
Exactly. I mean, I find it a very favourable interpretation. The point is that this foundation is such a rubbish build, it makes it look as though it was put up in a hurry. And this idea of this wall is continued right the way through the keep means that you can effectively divide one keep into two separate keeps. You can defend either of them.
At last, after 3 days of digging, we've got what we came here for. Evidence linking this Norman castle to the anarchy of King Stephen and Matilda, maybe even to the siege of 1142. And after looking at the landscape and using our trebuchet, Stuart thinks he's worked out how King Stephen might have attacked the castle.
If I was going to besiege this castle, that's where I'd put a trebuchet, along that road. Not only have you got, can you lob things into the enclosure from it, but you've also got control of the road itself. You can almost cut off the castle here. So although it's a really strong defensible position because it's surrounded by marsh and so on, if you lost control of those roads, its strength also becomes its weakness because you'd actually literally be trapped in it. You couldn't get out, reinforcements couldn't get in. I mean, you'd be completely stuck in there.
Surrounded by water, the defenders would have been trapped with no option but to surrender. So when King Stephen's mighty army arrived, that's exactly what they did. And perhaps to make sure that Radcot was never a problem again, the castle's tower was pulled down soon after the war ended. But never one to let history get in the way of a good story, Time Team is going to imagine what might have happened if they hadn't thrown in the towel.
What are you two doing? This looks like a coconut shy.
It does, doesn't it? Well, one of the things that they used trebuchets for, to fling over the walls of a castle that was being besieged, with any defenders they could get their hands on and kill, they would behead and throw the heads back. It's quite revolting, but it seems to have worked.
So you two sick people have made some papier-mâché heads.
Well, we haven't made them. The children from Farringdon Primary School have made these, but they're just a little bit too light to fire from that, so we set them up as targets instead.
That's even worse. So these are now the garrison, and you're going to fire stuff at them?
We're going to fire grapefruit at them.
You are sick and weird, Helen Geek. Right, lads, are you ready? When I give the signal, let the fruit fly. You ready? Yeah! This is like it's a knockout. 1, 2, 3. And that demonstrates why Stephen's army won, I think.
It's been a great 3 days. We now know Radcot was once home to one of the earliest Norman stone castles in England. The main tower was built not long after the conquest in 1066 to defend the important river crossing, perhaps by Alfsea of Faringdon, a local Anglo-Saxon working for the Normans. Inside the tower was a huge central pillar holding up the first floor. This pillar was later turned into a wall, probably to strengthen the castle during the fighting between Stephen and Matilda. The tower would have been surrounded by other buildings. We found a kitchen, and although we can't prove it, there might also have been a chapel and a gatehouse. But the evidence for most of this was destroyed when Oliver Cromwell's Roundheads built a siege fort here in the 17th century. But at least that fort left us with one of the most special, if still rather muddy, finds we've had on Time Team.
You quite like this, don't you?
Well, I have never seen anything as complete as this. It is just amazing. Have you seen this on the bottom?
No.
It's a maker's mark.
Is it one W-A, I-W-A?
It's I-W-A, but the I is for a J, I think, almost certainly. And usually this was a husband and wife, and I would guess this is going to be John and Anne. And the W, well, the most common surname is that we have today, beginning with W, is Williams. The trouble is there's an awful lot of common surnames beginning with W. But it is just lovely.
It really is a wonderful discovery. And along with all the pottery, it's just one of so many superb finds from the past 3 days.
It's intriguing to think that there might be a few more earthworks scattered around the country, hiding secrets like the ones we've uncovered here at Radcot. From Roman settlers to Saxon lords, Stephen and Matilda, not to mention a couple of civil wars, we found evidence of some of the key moments of English history. But what stood out for me about the archaeology has been the debt we owe to all those potters, quietly working away, making their wares for hundreds of years, enabling us, thank goodness, to put dates to the real history of Radcot.